Welcome to Off the Cuff Shirtless Mike. I'm your host, Shirtless Mike. And today we have a wonderful show lined up for you guys. We're just going to sit and chat. We're actually sitting here live at Executive Cigar Shop and Lounge in beautiful downtown Melbourne, Florida. And I have Patrick Vivolo. I probably fucked it up.
That's all right.
But I called him Vivolvo, but I mean, whatever. So anyway, we got him. He works for La Palina Cigars, and we're just going to sit and just have a freaking conversation while smoking a cigar. So what's up, Patrick?
What's up, man? Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So tell me a little bit, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started this thing. You said you've been in the cigar world for like 23 years.
23 years. Well, first of all, you know, they can't see us, they just hear us, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're both not wearing our shirts, so it's a little little uncomfortable right now. But yeah, I've been in the cigar industry for 23 years. Spent my first 5 years working in a cigar lounge, and then the last 18 years on the manufacturing side.
Awesome. So you also started your own cigar brand at one point. Like, it's not around anymore, but you know, you've since then moved on from that. But like, tell me about that process, how you got into it, you know, whatever.
So Vivolo Cigars, it really started as a personal project for myself. When I worked for Rocky Patel, part of my job was to be the host for the factory trips down to Honduras. So we bring the groups down, everybody would get to blend their own cigar. So I would partake as well. You know, every time I went down, I would try a new blend. Some turned out great, some turned out horrible. And then I found one blend that I liked for myself. It was just a personal blend, you know, really no intentions of ever coming on the retail shelves. It was more of a cigar that I would enjoy, I'd bring back to the office, hand out to friends. And, you know, long story short, a couple of retailers got a hand on my cigar, and they wanted to start to carry the cigar in their stores, and it blossomed from there.
That's what's up. So you started your cigar line and everything, and how far did you get into that? You know, like you were saying, some you had like 100 accounts or something like that.
I had about 100 accounts in my first year. Yeah.
That's cool. So what? I mean, I remember you were telling me that you didn't have any reps. You were just kind of like a one-man show type thing.
I did the shipping, I did the marketing, I did the events, I did the blending. You know, I wasn't the one guy that, you know, wanted to rely on somebody else to do the job in the beginning. My original idea was 6 months to a year of me just cultivating the accounts that I had, getting them accustomed to our cigars, and then finding the right people, you know, to help grow the brand.
Yeah.
You know, things happen for a reason. It didn't get past the 1 year mark, you know, but I've been blessed to be with the La Palina family for 4 years now.
That's awesome.
Additionally, we just started working with Matt Booth, Room 101 Cigars, late last year, and he's been a great addition to the family.
Definitely. And I don't know what it is. It just seemed, at first when I heard the news of you know, Matt Booth joining the La Palina family, it's with distribution, right?
Yes, distribution, okay. Yes.
Yeah, so it almost like seemed like an odd, because when you think La Palina, you know,
more traditional.
You're very, you know, sophisticated, and then you got Matt Booth calling cigars rolled up leaves that shape like dicks.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of how you would have success, you know what I mean? Like, opposites kind of attract.
Yeah, I mean, we work well with each other, you know, myself and, you know, our company president and CEO, we've all been friends with Matt for a very long time, and it was a right fit.
Yeah, definitely. So you're the sales manager, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, for La Palina Cigar. So what kind of responsibilities does that entail for you, like just on a day-to-day basis?
I cover more than just Florida. I cover the Carolinas, Kentucky, and New England, so I'm really kind of all over the map, per se. You know, just growing the brand, you know, partnering up with the right retail partners. Like, we're here at Executive. Tony's been a friend of ours for a long time, back in my RP days and my 601 days. I worked for 601 for a couple of years. So, you know, Tony's been a loyal partner for a long time. And those are the kind of guys that I like to work with, are the ones that want to work with us.
Definitely, definitely. So, so you're on the road a lot. So, yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of conversations of people like, oh, I want to be a rep. I want to do this. I want to be that. Like, we were talking about this earlier, you know, so I figured it would be good content for the podcast. But there seems to be some notion that, you know, people think that, you know, the cigar industry, some glamorous job, which, don't get me wrong, people that I know that are in the cigar industry, that they have a good time, it's a fun job, but it's not all peaches and cream every single day.
No, man.
Like, what's the part that really just sucks the most about being on the road so much?
The simple answer is just not being at home with family, you know? There's nights, weeks, and multiple weeks where you're on the road, without being home. But that's part of the job. I mean, you can't be successful if you don't go into the shops and meet people.
Definitely, definitely. Now, going to the opposite extreme here, what's the best part? We all know it's meeting people and all that, but other than that, what's the best part of just being on the road so much?
Obviously, working with our retail partners, but the most satisfying thing for me is when I walk into a lounge and they're smoking one of our cigars.
Definitely.
So that
kind of like me today. I only bought La Palina when I came in. Not because I'm an ass kisser, because I'm not. Shirtless Mike does what he wants to do. But if I rock with you, I rock with you. And that's the way it works.
I might have to move you guys in a little bit. We
have a question. Oh, okay. That's fine. We can move. This is a live. This is a podcast we're recording. What's up,
are
Yaz?
You in the bathroom right now? Oh, my bad.
It's okay. That's why it's called Off the Cuff. The first ever podcast. That's the thing, how it is. But anyway, what was I talking about?
The most satisfying thing about being on the road.
Oh, yeah. What's the most satisfying thing about being on the road?
Well, like I said, walking into a shop, besides seeing our retail partners, is walking into a shop and seeing someone smoke your cigar. That's always a good sign, because I can walk into a shop and talk to a customer and sell them one of my cigars, but when you walk in and see him smoking it without me pushing it or the retailer pushing it, it's always a good sign. That means we're doing our job as manufacturers, as making a great cigar, as people enjoying them.
Definitely, definitely. So,
and we know people have a million choices, and there's a lot of great cigars out there, and We all smoke everybody's cigars. It's part of the fun of being in this industry is everybody, for the most part, is making really nice stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's for me. I got ADD, so like I smoke something all over the spectrum of, mild, medium, full body cigars, and that's what I really appreciate about the cigar world, because like there's no shortage of choices. Like I could stick to one thing for a while. I could get. Something completely off the wall of what I would normally smoke, and I figured out, hey, I might like this, stuff like that. So that's always a plus.
It's just like wine. I mean,
yeah,
there's so many choices of wine, different varietals, different countries of origin. It's really depending on your mood, and also, what are you drinking with it? Did you just finish a meal? There's a lot of things that dictate how you're gonna pick a cigar.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, just keeping this thing moving along here, just in your personal cigar, not your smoking at work thing, what do you like to smoke outside of the brand that you are the sales manager for?
I kind of lean towards medium to medium full-bodied Nicaraguan cigars. I'm a big fan of Espinosa. Not just because he's a good friend of mine, in my opinion, he makes some really damn good cigars.
Oh, yeah.
Tatawahe, I like Oliva, probably leaving a few people out, I apologize. AJ Fernandez, I'm pretty much Nicaraguan. You know, Rockies, Nicaraguan stuff I enjoy.
Yeah.
But you know, when I first started back in the late '90s, the variety wasn't there. It was Party, Macanudo, Monte Cristo. There were no boutiques back then. So back when I first started, I was smoking a lot of Fuentes, 858s, which funny thing is, I smoked one for the first time in years a few months ago. And I tell you what, just as I remembered it, consistent, great flavor, great burn, great draw. But back then I would smoke a lot of Dominican cigars. And as the years went on, my palate kind of evolved more towards Nicaragua.
Yeah. Now, back in the late 90s when you started smoking cigars, like, how prevalent, like, you know, I know there wasn't as much of a diverse amount of cigars out, but, like, you know, how, were there a lot of Nicaraguan cigars around that time?
Not nearly as many as they
were
now.
Not nearly as many?
No.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like, you know, you kind of started like around the boom period or maybe just after that.
My first cigar was back in 96.
96, so that was like after the boom.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aware there was a boom. I just had my first cigar and I enjoyed it. So, you know, when I first started, I would go to my local shop and just pick up a few. So every time I go in, I bring X amount of dollars and I pick up three or four different blends and write them down, and I actually found my original cigar journal from back in the 90s, so looking through the brands that were around then that are now is pretty interesting.
Kinda, yeah, definitely.
Kind of brings you down memory lane a little bit.
Yeah, like, I mean, I knew some of the brands that were around because some of them are still around today, but, like, what, I know you talked about what you used to smoke a little bit back then, like, what, even if you weren't smoking that brand, what brand, like, I know Fuente and stuff that you mentioned, but what brands were around that you remember?
One of the most memorable brands was Bahia, owned by Tony Brahani. The Bahia Gold was one of my favorite cigars back then.
I've heard of that.
Well, he made cigars with a guy named Don Douglas, who was the man. Mm. He was out of Costa Rica. Everything at that factory was amazing. There was a brand called Bucanero that was around in the early 2000s. He made some great blends, and, you know, out of the blue one day, he just retired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think if he was around now, he'd be as on the same level as, like, an AJ or Pepin.
Definitely. So you've been around since then. Do you happen to remember your first cigar?
Of course. It's a Partagas Series D4. Mm.
Yeah, Boston Jimmy, he said, I think, what was it, the Trinidads he used to smoke a lot of?
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. So, moving on to now, man, it's funny doing an off the cuff podcast. Like, it's always fun because we gotta think. Like, I literally have no plans anytime I do a podcast, so I'm just trying to keep this conversation moving. But let's see here. Let's talk about. This is my first time I ever had a blank during a, but it's okay.
Talk about the history of La Palina.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about the history of La Palina. So, that's good.
Yeah, so La Palina was founded in 1896 by a gentleman by the name of Samuel Paley. He started working at a cigar factory in Chicago in the late 1800s. He started off as a lector and then eventually graduated to a roller and then eventually overseeing the whole factory. Moved his family to Philadelphia, started the Congress Cigar Company with the flagship brand being La Palina in 1896. At one point in the early 20th century, we were manufacturing and selling over a million cigars a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And as the years went on, his son, William Paley Sr., was not so much into cigar manufacturing as he was radio broadcasting and marketing. And he had a weekly show called the La Palina Hour, which I kind of guess was kind of like what we were doing now. This guy is getting around talking about, you know, the weekly events or sports or just life in general. And that blossomed into CBS broadcasting.
Oh, wow.
And his son, the current owner of La Palina, William Paley Jr., with his love for cigars, brought back the La Palina brand in 2009.
Mm.
Since 2009, you know, Bill has, you know, brought his grandfather's brand you know, back into the retail market, and we've had a lot of great success so far. We've been lucky to work with some great manufacturing partners with a diverse portfolio.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, all right. So that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Sorry about the blank there. This is the first time this ever happened. This guy's like, oh, this guy get on the podcast. And then he has all these hiccups.
I mean, not guys. I mean, you know.
So yeah. So yeah. I saw Patrick at the Great Smoke. You know, I first met him. We were Facebook friends for a while. I just added people from the cigar world and stuff. Saw that he was into, like, you know, old school hip hop and all that.
For sure. Yeah.
So who are some of your favorite rappers?
Oh man. Hey, my favorite. I mean, I give you top five. How about that?
Yeah, top five, dead or alive.
In no particular order. Got to go Rakim. Nas. KRS-One, Tupac, and fifth, last time, probably have to go with Biggie, number five.
Biggie. See, the thing about me, it's so hard for me to rank people. Like, that's why I don't compile the end of the year cigar list, none of that, because I can't rank shit. It's like I like so many different rappers.
Right.
You know, I'm big. You know, of course, I like Biggie, Pac. You know, I love Big Pun. Rest in peace to those guys. You know, of course, your Rakims, KRS-Ones, back in the day.
Big Daddy Kane.
Just all that old stuff. Like, you know, of course, like I can't. You know, I'm a little bit younger. I'm only 31. So, like, when I was coming up, you know, it was your Nas was around. You know, obviously, I like Jay-Z. But I like the old Jay-Z, you know, mostly. Like, some of his new stuff I haven't been able to get into as much. But, yes. And then, I grew up on, you know, I'm the generation that grew up on Rap City, The Basement.
Of course, yeah.
You know, with Big Tigger.
After school, go home and watch Rap City.
Yep.
And
yep.
I'm from Jersey, so up north we had the box, video music box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would watch Rap City to the Base. Well, I would watch Hits from the Street, where the guy hits, he would go and just do random shit on the street. And then, of course, Rap City to the Basement. And then after that, then it was 106 in Park, with Free and AJ. That was the best. I would always catch Freestyle Friday. I used to watch Jin when he was on there. And then, like, when after 106 and Park kind of, after they went with Terrence and the other, what's the other chick's name?
Not sure. I didn't really watch.
Not Lala, but anyway, the other chick that was not the one that's not Free. Then, you know, Blind Fury. Have you ever heard of Blind Fury?
Yeah, rapper, yeah.
Man, Blind Fury, that dude can, like, this dude, you can know that he really is on top of his game because he cannot write lyrics whatsoever. Like, he's blind. So, I like to, you know, I enjoyed seeing Blind Fury. He was the champion for I don't know how many weeks.
Yeah.
I go back and look at it to remind myself. But, yeah, Blind Fury was up there. And you know what else I caught? I don't know if you ever caught this, but if you go back and listen to some of the old freestyles from Rap City, and you can kind of catch some rappers using their written lyrics.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I saw Keith Murray. He was using some, like, old written, you know, and he was kind of, like, merging them together like it was a freestyle. But see, at the time, you know, I was younger. I didn't really know as much about music, so I was like, oh, yeah, they're just freestyling. But as I got older, you know, into my mid-20s and stuff, I would go back and then be like, yo, this dude's like, you know, I would hear more music. I'm like, yo, this guy's, you know, using pre-written stuff.
Oh, it's funny you say that. It reminds me of an old article. I think it was a Source or XXL. Remember the He Got Game soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a Wu-Tang song on there, right? So, and long story short, in the article, the guy talks about, you know, there was a cypher going on. Method Man comes in the cypher and kicks a freestyle. And this guy is like, his mind was blown. He's like, how the fuck am I going to come back to that? So, like, I guess
maybe whatever it was, a month or two later, listening to the He Got Game soundtrack, and that the man's verse was on the song on that soundtrack.
Yo, that's crazy. Yes, yeah, that's definitely crazy to look back at that type of stuff. So you come from a big family?
Big family?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I don't know who that is.
Like a big family, like if you come from...
Oh, I come from a big family? My dad's half Italian, so yeah, we got a big family.
Oh, of course. I'm Irish and Italian, so, you know, of course, Irish people have a lot of kids, Italian people have a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely... I know what the big family is. Like, my grandma, you know, she's the one that's Irish, and she's the two... They had 10 kids. Yeah, so she's got 8 brothers, a sister, and her.
Wow.
So yeah, they're definitely traditional Irish Catholics.
Yep.
So you got to come from a big family. So are you the only one in your family that smokes cigars?
No, my dad and my uncle smoke cigars.
So I'm sure they're like the, you know, stereotypical, you know, Italian, old Italian guy, just like with a cigar, just play. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
it's always a fun time around them.
Oh yes, no, it's always a good time. Like, you know, that's kind of how I got into cigars as well. Like, you know, just I would see, like, you know, old dudes, you know, with cigars, and I thought, oh, that looks cool. And then as I got older, I decided to try it, and then boom.
What was your first cigar?
I don't remember the first cigar. That's the problem. But
maybe it wasn't tobacco in it then.
I do remember. It wasn't a premium cigar.
It was the first premium cigar, yeah.
I don't remember. But I do remember the first non-premium cigar. I was like 15, somewhere around there. And there was this lady who worked at the gas station across the street from my middle school. And she used to sell weed out of there. So a friend of mine, like, I was like hanging around like after school or before I walked home or whatever, and then like he went in there and bought like a couple White Owl banana blunts.
Yeah.
And I didn't put any weed in it. I've never been a big time weed guy or nothing like that, but I went home and, you know, I smoked it and I got super super sick. And then I was supposed to do the dishes, and I had to like make my brother like do the dishes as well. And then I had to like lie to my mom, like, oh, I'm so sick. And I, you know, he never told, so. But yeah, I can't remember the first premium cigar that I had. I remember I went and bought stuff off online when I turned 18. So it was probably like a Romeo and Juliet or something like that. Like, I don't remember. So are you married? You got kids?
Married. No kids yet.
No kids? That's always, you know, so that's good. Because when you have kids, then you will get no sleep.
On the road a lot, man, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, though, you know, but when you do have kids, you know, it will suck even more to be on the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and end this podcast. I normally do it a little bit longer, but we're in the public place. My mind is sidetracked at times, but me and Patrick's just been chilling anyway. So, you know, to truly make it an off-the-cuff podcast, I had to, like, you know, go ahead and fire it up real quick. So I appreciate you, everybody, for listening. Appreciate you for coming on.
My pleasure, man. I appreciate it.
And we're just going to chill out as long as possible.
Make sure you get your Team Shirtless Mike t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. My boy Patrick, I made sure I hooked him up with a Team Shirtless Mike shirt. They'll be for sale very soon. The first 20 people, well, 19 people, because I have my own shirt. It's very small number, but I'm hooking people up. I've already made the list, so don't ask. So, yeah, appreciate you guys for tuning in. And this is Off the Cuff Shirtless Mike. Peace.